بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. There's a book called Kamilu Ziyarat, when loads of ahadith have been reported from Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam, and there in one of those reports says that the entire creation that we have, it has life. And then that hadith mentions that the land wherein Kaaba has been situated, that is Mecca, is located, that land once speaks, it's proud, it boasts. It says that I am that piece of land on which the holiest house, which is Kaaba, is located. Well, the land wherein the holy Kaaba is located is boasting, is proud. Says, I am the piece of land wherein the house of Allah is located, and towards which millions of Muslims they face for all of their ahkam, their rituals, and is proud. All of a sudden, the land from Karbala says, hush, quiet. What do you say? The piece of land where I am, here someone is located, which is Hussein ibn Ali. If Kaaba is Kaaba today, if Mecca is Mecca today, it's because of Hussein ibn Ali. So Abu Abdullah al-Hussein possesses that great position, that great rank, the place wherein Abu Abdullah has been buried. It isn't an ordinary land. For that riwayat, they say that about 200 prophets and their progeny, the blood of them has been poured, has been irrigated into that land, for that land to be prepared so that Hussein ibn Ali is buried in there. So that is that great piece of land. And whosoever is associated and bonded with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein lives forever. It was mentioned yesterday. Whatever we see today in this whole wide world, it's from the grace and blessings and barakat of Hussein ibn Ali. The founder of Hawza Ilmiya Qum, Ayatullah Shaykh Abdul Karim Ha'iri, before his lectures, he recites, there is someone who recites Masa'ib before the dars starts every day. The students, they object, they say that we come all the way here to study for these durus-e kharij of yours, and we have to listen to these Masa'ib that are recited every day. In reply, he says that whatever I have is because of Hussein. And then he says that he was about 40 years of age, or a bit younger. He fell ill, and everyone had lost hope. He was faced Qibla, and he was covered. And he says that I was giving away my life. The angels also had come. And at that very moment, when my soul was being seized and being taken to the skies, I seek refuge in Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. And I said to him, Ya Aba Abdullah, I haven't done anything in my life. Give me an opportunity so that I can serve. And then he says that the angels, they said he has sought refuge and shelter from Aba Abdullah, and his, to him that life has been given back. He revives, he gains life, and then he says, whatever I have today, it's because of Hussein ibn Ali, the life that I have. And the productivity that we see from the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum, that too is a grace of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. We started this talk on kindness, and here the Holy Prophet, he says that, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا رَحِيمٌ, that by my life, and by this life of mine, which is in the possession of the existence of Allah, he who is not kind, he who is not Rahim, will not enter the heaven. And the people present in that majlis of Rasulullah, they say that, قَالُوا كُلَّنَا رَحِيمٌ, we are all kind, we are all merciful. لَا حَتَّى تَرْحَمَ الْعَامَّةِ, here Rasulullah says, no, you have to have that kindness towards everyone. Not just kindness towards each other, towards everyone. And this kindness can be seen in this beautiful performance of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. A beggar comes to Aba Abdullah and he says, who is the kindest and the most benevolent person in town? People, they show him the house of Hussein ibn Ali. And he comes to this house and there he recites this poem saying that, أنت جواد وأنت معتمد أبوك قد كان قاتل الفسق, that you are that جواد, you are that معتمد upon whom people rely, and your father was someone who killed all of these فاسقين. So Imam, he found out that he is in need. He says, okay, comes to his house, to his wife and children, to his family, says that there is someone in need outside. It is a good opportunity that we can help him. So what he does, he spreads out a little piece of cloth and says, whoever wants to give whatever, come and put it in this piece of cloth, we can give it to him. A little knapsack is prepared, whatever was present, and Imam, what he does is that from behind the door or from the window, he gives that to that beggar saying that, خُذْهَا فَإِنِّي إِلَيْكَ مُؤْتَذِرٌ, take this, I'm sorry, this is all I had, but know that, وَعْلَمْ فَإِنِّي عَلَيْكَ ذُو شَفَقَ, that I love you. He gives that to that beggar from behind the door. He doesn't even open the door. And now the beggar, he starts crying. Imam says, what is the reason why do you cry? Says, I cry not for what you have given. What you've given me, it's a lot. It's these beautiful and benevolent hands of yours. These hands must never be buried. They should live forever. Because the reason why Imam does not open the door and give it to him face to face is because he doesn't want that beggar to be ashamed that he was in need and he extended help. He sought help from Hussein ibn Ali, although he is the most kareem. That is that beautiful way how Ma'sumeen, they helped. And then says, مَا ذُرِبَ عَبْدٌ بِعُقُوبَةٍ أَعْظَمَ مِنْ قَسْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ, that many a times Allah afflicts an individual, and how does He afflict? He punishes them by their heart being hard-hearted. If that heart becomes hard, that is when Allah, His wrath is on it. Heart of a mu'min is the center point of attraction of the graces and mercy of Allah. And for that we find amazing terms in our riwayat. Some say that heart is Baytullah, the heart is the house of Allah. Sometimes says that Haramullah, heart is Haramullah. Sometimes says that heart is Arshullah, it's the throne of Allah. Is that every heart? No, only that heart which is kind. Only that heart which possesses that mercy. And for that reason we find that these great glorious sayings mentioned by Ma'sumeen alayhimus salam. And someone who is kind, That is, whose heart is kind benefits a lot. For example, we've got one of the noble, he says that once when I woke up, I had a vision, I saw that someone has come to the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and there, when he says, now the adab is that before you enter the shrine, you say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. He says, this person comes and said, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, and I see from the haram, from inside, Aba Abdullah and Hussein is welcoming himself, saying, Wa alayka as-salam. He says, maybe some good news I'm going to get today, what I've seen. That very day when he comes to the haram and he wants to enter the shrine, he stands by the door, says, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. From the other side he sees a young lad, a young boy. He also has come to the haram and he says that salam, and Imam has come out in person from that shrine and he welcomes him into the haram. He says, I ran towards that boy and said, what is this I saw today? That was Abu Abdullah al-Hussein welcoming you and replying to your salam. He says, it's been a long time, it's like this. He says, what was the reason and how did this happen? He says, I have parents, very old, and the ride I have at home, it's just one animal, one donkey. And it was my routine that every other week I come to the shrine, that is every Thursday, to the shrine of Aba Abdullah, and there I pay my visit. And because it's just one ride and both the parents are very old, one of them has to come every week. So I brought my father, and the next week it was my mother. And the day when it was my father's turn, and I'm going to the shrine, my mother, she says that, take me today. I said to her, today it's my dad's turn, I have to take him to the haram, to the shrine. She says, take me or else you will regret. He says, okay, now that if she is insisting and I cannot say to my father, don't come. Father is on the ride, on that donkey. He carries that old hunched mother himself, walks all the way from home to Karbala. Says, that day when I came to that shrine of Aba Abdullah and said, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, from that week, Imam welcomes me all the time. That is for that kindness which I showed towards my mother. So kindness plays the important part in our life. Towards our parents, towards our family, towards wife, towards children, towards brothers, towards sisters, in the family members, towards animals and everything, all these rights that we find in the United Nations here, before we've got all of them in our teachings, all of them, much more than that is present in our teachings. So kindness plays the important part. That is why Allah says that heart is Arshullah, that heart is Baytullah, that heart of a mu'min is Haramullah. There is an ayah in Quran for which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ آيَةٌ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, that I know an ayah from the book of Allah. If you practice that ayah, that should be sufficient for you. What is that ayah? I'll come to that point. In one of these visitations that marhum Imam Khomeini had during his youth, he comes to Mashhad. And at that time, the alim, one of the great ulama who is Sahib Karamat, it's marhum Ayatullah Sheikh Hassan Ali Isfahani. He's written, his biography can be found online in two volumes. It's called Nami Azbi Nishanha. That's the book. And there he, at that in his youth, comes to this alim and says that, can you give me a prescription? Teach me something that I could, that could be beneficial for me. And in reply that alim, he says that, okay, I can teach you, but you have to promise that, for example, if I give you a prescription, teach you something, and if a mountain changes into gold, can you promise that you will not use a penny of it, but for the sake and for the cause of Allah? Here, marhum Imam Khomeini says, that I cannot promise. That is, after seeing all that wealth, no matter who a person is, there is a little twist. Says, that I cannot promise. Says, okay, I'll teach you something else. And then he also gives that same prescription which the Holy Prophet has given. Says, after every prayer of yours, recite three salawats. Recite three times Surah Al-Ikhlas and recite this ayah three times, which is وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. And it is a beautiful ayah. Now he says that I recited that ayah throughout my life and I never got stuck. Now in our day-to-day life, we find that many different tests and trials come across. It may be in our schools, it may be at work, it may be even in communal affairs. In a community, decisions have to be made. Sometimes decisions go against deen, against religion. What do we do? For example, if we are at school, it's time for lunch. There is no other food but some burgers which are haram. Allah says you can't eat them, but we are hungry. We just twist it and we can bring about all these different ahkam that we are hungry, and Allah also says that you shouldn't be killing yourself, so you can eat it. So with all these justifications, what do we do? The ruling initially, it's that you cannot. What in 911 situations? Can you? Or for example, Allah says that when it comes to the interaction between boys and girls, says that you cannot. You cannot mess with girls. You cannot shake hands. You cannot be with them. But what if someone is stuck and there is no way out and there is all that haram which is available in 911 situations, because lust also, that shahwat also is given by Allah. Can we say that we can contaminate and pollute ourselves with this haram and then it will be alright? Or for example, in communal affairs, sometimes in a community it may so happen. The example that we can give you over here is this nuclear thing which is going on. One may say that the whole world is against us, so we can, for their sake, step aside. We can make a decision. But here Allah says that this ayah is revealed in those 911 situations. That is, even if you were stuck and you didn't find anything to eat, you cannot eat that haram. That is, even if you were stuck and that haram was available for you, you could have messed with that girl. Even in that situation, that haram will remain a haram. It will not become halal for you, even in those circumstances. Or even in this community, in communal affairs, that would be the same rule. Says, what do we do? If we stick to that program which Allah has laid, He says, I will find you an outlet. That is, if you stick to the program and don't eat that haram, I will help you out. If you stick to that program and be away from that girl, I will find you an outlet. If you stick to the program and stick to whatever Allah has said, that community, I will make it grow, I will make it flourish. From where you never thought of, that is the meaning of that ayah, that وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, that Allah will grant sustenance, rizq, from where you never thought of. Marhum Karbalai, Kazim Karbalai, about 30 years ago he died, lives in Iran, is an illiterate person who cannot read, who cannot write. He is working for his employer, and he finds out that the employer doesn't pay zakat. He comes and says to him, you have to pay zakat because I'm taking this money from you and I have to feed myself and my family, and I don't want to give them something which is najis. He says that once, mentions that, repeats and reminds him a few days later that you have to pay zakat. For the third time he reminds him, and then he says, if you don't pay that, I quit. And then when he found his employer would not listen to him, he says, okay, a total separation between me and you. I cannot work for you because I cannot take this contaminated wealth of yours. He says, the moment I said no to that person, That very moment, this illiterate person who cannot read, who cannot write, is blessed with this entire Qur'an, becomes a hafiz of Qur'an, someone who cannot read. And the son of marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma, Ha'iri, who's, I just mentioned, the founder of Qom, his son says that, I placed a book before him, just an ordinary book of hadith, and said to him, this is Qur'an, can you read it? He says, it's not Qur'an. Then he picks some words and says, this is Qur'an, that is Qur'an, this word is Qur'an, and that is. And then he asked that, how come you could pick these words which are Qur'an, and the other text you cannot read? He says, Qur'an glows for me. That is just a benefit of protecting himself from that haram, from that najis. So Allah says, يَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, that in those 911 situations when you were stuck, you were hungry, you couldn't find anything else but that McDonald's burger, you must not eat. Or in that situation when there's no one, and if someone was even seduced, even in that situation, you must not contaminate and pollute yourself. Here we find that Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, in his age 24 years old, there's a book called Elixir of Love, you can find it online. Kimiya Mahabbat in Farsi, and you've got it in all different languages. There he says that at the age of 24, no one present in that house, this girl, she comes and seduces him. And if that haram also had taken place in that house, no one would ever had found out. Now he was smart. Now first of all, we ask Allah to never bring about such difficult tests before us, because no one can find, not everyone is Yusuf, not everyone is so great to find salvation from these traps. There he says to himself that if this haram is done, no one will find out. But he says that all these years Allah was testing me. Let me test God today. And I will put this haram away. And he just leaves that house and goes away. Says the moment I came out of that house, that very moment there was a huge big downpour, a download of mercy in him. And this person who was illiterate, who could not read, who could not write, becomes the teacher of many of the literate. That is just for putting away that haram. So ayat says that in 911 situations, haram of Allah remains haram. We cannot twist it and make it halal. May that be whatever, haram will be haram at all times. And here the teaching is that if we recite this ayah a lot, Allah will find and he will open up rizq and sustenance for us from where we never thought of. يَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. So recite that ayah, add it onto your daily program. After every wajib namaz, recite salawats three times Surah Al-Ikhlas, and the second and third ayat of Surah Al-Talaq. If you want, you can have, we got some copies here, you can get them. Salawat. The other thing is that bonding with the Imam of Compassion, which is Imam Al-Asr, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. For that, there are many tips that have been mentioned by our ulama, that have been reported in our books of ahadith. Du'as that help a lot, some of them were mentioned yesterday. Among these du'as that we can add on to our programs, it's Ziyarat Ali Yasin. It's a beautiful ziyarat. There are various du'as and ziyarat reported from the Imam of Time, and we have to get acquainted with them. And they are very relaxing. They are very helping. Even the day that we have here, Amirul Mu'mineen, he says that you have to divide it into three parts. That is, one third of it for your work, one third of it for yourself, one third of it for your rest. Not that we just work from 9 to 5 and then get another job from 5 to 11 and then we just sleep for a few hours and then start the next day all over again. That is not the teaching. The idea is that the soul that Allah has given, it has to be protected, it has to grow, it has to blossom, and it has to come closer and closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And for that, all these prescriptions that have been said to us have to be applied. One of the names, one of the phrases that we find in this beautiful ziyarat is that وَالْغَوْسُ وَالرَّحْمَةُ الْوَاسِعَةُ. Ghaus means helper, help. Or what we say in dua, كُمَيْلْ يَا غِيَاسَ الْمُسْتَغِيثِينَ, that is, O helper of those who seek help. Here, Imam, his name is Ghaus, Ghausul Ummah, that helper of the nation. And we find that the same title was with the Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that he also was known as Ghawthul Ummah, that is, someone who helped the nation. Now during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Kufa, it is a hot place, temperatures in extremes. An Imam in his office, people who used to get help from him, they had to pass through the security and come to the office of Imam. Now in those days of summer, an Imam in his rule, in his Khilafat, it's not that Ali during the time of the Holy Prophet, it's an old man now, Amir al-Mu'mineen. What he does is that in summer, his office is inside throughout the year, but in summer he comes and sits by the door where the security is. Why does he do that? So that people who are in need of help, they can get that help quicker. They don't need to walk all the way through inside the office and there talk to him and get the help. Imam comes and sits by the door so that people get that help quicker. Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. He too is Ghawthul Ummah. We have to have that bond with him. No matter what we want, we have to get from him. Riwayat, they say that we have to have that sincere, loving, kind bond, so much so that the table salt, which is the cheapest stuff in our house, in our livelihoods, for that also we ask Imam to give it to us. Shoelaces, that too we have to ask him. That is, we have to have that close bond with him. About 30 years ago, one of the students living in Qum, he says that I was stuck. I was in need of funds. I had no money. I said, okay, now we have to have that bond with Imam. Very sincerely, he sat in his room in Madrasa Faiziya and he starts listing the items that he is in need of. Rice, oil, kerosene, salt, onions, whatever, the whole grocery list. He was writing them down, and the last item that he was writing down on that list, someone is at the door knocking. He opens the door, Marhum Fakhr, one of the ulama at that time, he was present with a bag in his hand, a basket, says, these are the things you wanted. So that bond, if we have with Imam, no matter what we want, we have to knock that door. Ghawthul Ummah, Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin, it is that Imam. The reason why we don't get it, because we don't know how to knock. We don't know how to beg. Gar gida kahil buwad. Taqseer sahib khane cheest. That is, the beggars, which are us, we are the ones who don't know how to beg. And then we complain that we are not being blessed, we are not being given. So we have to learn to beg, we have to learn to ask. That bond has to be created with the Imam. That is, no matter when, no matter what, we have to get it from them. It shouldn't be as such that whenever we get stuck, we ask the Imam. That is bad. Although it is better than nothing, but normally that is the situation with us, that only when we are in need, we knock the door, we get it from him, and once we are all set, finish. It's that hire and fire that we have here. We hire him when we want him, we fire him when we've got him. That is bad. With the Imam of time, we have to have a friendly relationship, a relationship of kindness, of mahabbat. And to enhance that, there are some tips that will be mentioned. That, first of all, that ma'rifah, that knowledge has to be increased, that who Allah is, who the Imam is, who the 14 ma'sumeen are, what is the role of the Imam, all this has to be understood. And then it should be as such that we have to remember the Imam all the time, especially today was Friday. That we have to ask ourselves, especially me, myself, a lesson to me first, and that is, how much did I remember the Imam today? All these du'as that we had, how many of them did we recite? It's easier nowadays with all these smartphones we have, all these online files that we have. It's easy that we can just download them, listen to them in all these different formats that are available. Dua Nutba was for Friday, Ziyarat Ali Yasin we have, Istighatha we have, which is seeking help from the Imam. The other thing is that that heart of ours has to constantly call the Imam. Like we've got these different ringtones in our gadgets, we can change them, we can change the ringtone of our heart if we try and work on it. So this heart, instead of beating all the time, we can change the tone, saying Ya Ali, for example. Say Ya Sahib al-Zaman, say Ya Aba Saleh, that is possible. But a lot of training is required, and after that you find that this heart, instead of just beating and beating, instead of that palpitation, you will find that it says, it talks. That even if we are occupied with something, that heart is occupied with that recital of it, which is Ya Sahib al-Zaman, that is possible. That theme, that ringtone of that heart has to call the Imam at all times. The other duty that is binding upon us is this remembrance of the Imam of time. It has to be enhanced among the people. Exalting the name of the Imam has to be a lot. Crying for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, that too is something which we learn from Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, from Imam al-Asr. If you get some time, look into the Ziyarat Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa. Marhum Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, he is one of those personalities who has free access to Imam. He says, when asked that how come you got so close to the Imam, he says, once I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and I said to him that I want to come closer to the Imam, what shall I do? Rasulullah says that cry for my grandson Hussein twice a day. One in the morning, one in the afternoon, one at night. We find this in Ziyarat Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa. فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً. That Imam says that I will cry for you in the morning and at night, that is twice a day. Not just tears, tears of blood I will shed for you, which is my grandfather Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. So that bond with Aba Abdullah al-Hussein has to be enhanced. We have to create that. If it does exist in us, we have to be thankful. If it doesn't exist in us, we have to teach ourselves, especially our children. We have to teach them to cry for Hussein, which is one of the duties that we have. Even if you don't feel like crying, if your parents are bringing you to that majlis and you're just sitting and you don't understand anything, doesn't matter, don't understand. But there will be a time when you will come to know what is being said, what is being recited. If there is a tune, if there is a noha, whichever language you love, Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, Punjabi, whichever language, because everyone is different. If you like something, listen to it. And then ask your parents to help you. What does that mean? They will help you. And when you know the meaning of what is being recited by you, then automatically that eye also will start to shed tears. We have to train ourselves, especially our children, to cry for Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhim as-salam. One of the other things is that praying for the return of the Imam, that has to be a lot. وَأَكْثِرِ الدُّعَى بِتَعْجِيلِ الْفَرَجِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ فَرَجُكُمْ. That you have to pray a lot for the hastening of the return, because by that faraj, it's your relief as well. Giving a gift to Imam of time, that too is among the duties that we have. That is, recite a salawat and send that thawab of it to the Imam of time. Perform a hajj on behalf of Imam. Perform, offer a few rak'at of prayers on behalf of the Imam. All these little tips, sadaqah on behalf of the Imam, all these things, they help. They help a lot. Or even if you are providing with the tabarruk of a majlis, which is good, you can, as it was mentioned yesterday, you can increase the productivity of that and say that, Allah, this tabarruk which I am giving to this majlis is being given to the Imam of time, to be given to this ma'asum center for the mu'mineen. So that way, that niyat has been elevated, sawab is elevated, and also because it's being given to the Imam, it's huge. The output of that is, it magnifies by a large number, reciting Quran on behalf of the Imam. One of the other things which we need to add on to our weekly program is the recitation of Ziyarat Jama'at al-Kabira. Ziyarat Jama'at al-Kabira is reported from our 10th Imam, Hadi alayhi salatu wassalam. And if you get some time, just look into the meanings of this beautiful ziyarat. You can find it in various formats online. There, Marhum Allama Amini, he says that someone who understands this ziyarat jami'ah has understood the whole concept of imamats. That why has Allah sent these imams? What is the duty of the imams? What is our duty towards the imam? That whole concept of imamat can be understood. And that our urafa, great ulama, they say that recite it at least once in a week. And Friday is one of the best days for that. Ziyarat Ashura, the night prayers, and Ziyarat Ali Yasin are among the things that we can add on to our program. And that says that giving sadaqah for the well-being of the Imam of time, it's one of those things which helps a lot. And then says, loving the good and the sincere Shias, that too is among those duties that is assigned to us. One of the other things which helps a lot is performing our prayers on time. That is, when it is time for Maghrib, say your Maghrib prayers on time, don't delay them, unless there is some good reason that you couldn't say them on time. When it is Fajr, say them at that time of Fajr. Not that wait, sunrise is at 7:15, I can wake up at 7:10, say my Fajr prayers and then. No, if Fajr is at 5:45, say it at 5:45. Because there is a hadith which is shocking, reported from our 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Here Imam says that someone who delays his Fajr prayers until the stars are evident is mal'oon, is cursed. Someone who delays his Maghrib prayers until the stars are seen, which are evident, that person is mal'oon. He is deprived from that special share of mercy of Allah. And we are told that we should say our prayers on time, dot on time, when it is Zuhr, on time, Maghrib on time. And the reason why we are said, one of the reasons is that there are more chances of these prayers of ours to be accepted if they are said on time. Why is that? Because Imam, who is the perfect, who is Waliyullah al-Azam, he says his prayers on time. And when he says his prayers, there is an immense downpour of mercy, of rahmah from Allah onto this earth. There is a connection, high speed connection you could say, from this earth to the skies because of Imam. And when we say our prayers also they ascend and they are accepted blindly with the prayers of the Imam. But if we delay them, there are less and much slim chances of those prayers to be accepted. So it is in our benefit to say the prayers on time. That is, when it is time for prayers, dot, abbal waqt, don't delay it to that akhir waqt. So, helping the Shias is among the other things which Imam mentions, that to create that bond which we have with Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam. Because that hadith, it says that Shi'atuna qad khuliqu min fazilatinatina wa ujinu bi nur al-wilaya, that our Shias are created with the light, with that leftover clay with which Ma'sumin were created, and that clay was mixed with the nur of wilaya, light of wilaya. So the reason why sometimes we get so much hurt, for example on the day of Ashura, or when we are overjoyed on the 15th of Sha'ban, automatically it's because Imam is happy at that day. Because Imam is sad on that day of Ashura, we are also sad. It's like that main server who is hurt, we are also hurt. We are all connected to them. And that connection, it's because of that clay with which Ma'sumin were created, which was mixed with that nur and light of wilaya, we too are created with that. So Shia, it's a great honor. And we have to retain that honor that has been given to us by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that is by being within that framework, within those parameters, that have been set, that have been laid by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So for every little thing we have to come to the Imam. One of the other ulama, Sayyid Ali Mashhadi, he says that I was in need of funds. And this is this beautiful bond that we have. That is, whenever they need something, they come to the Imam. He says that I came to the Imam, I sought help, that I need some money. I need repairs to be done at home, and I'm not going to ask anyone, I'm going to ask you. If arrangements are to be made, they have to be made through you, because he is the distribution center. بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ. That is, it is through him, no matter which door you knock, it's forwarded to the Imam of time, and he sends, he arranges, he makes. He is the distribution center. He says, I came to the Imam, I asked him for help, and nothing happens. Travels all the way to Mashhad to the Imam Riza alayhi salatu wassalam. And then he says that when I come to, now why have I come to the eighth Imam to complain that I asked something from your grandson and he hasn't given to me. Now this is again another beautiful link, another beautiful contact which they have, that I asked from your son, he didn't give, so I'm going to complain to the grandfather. Comes to the Imam in front of the shrine, that grave of Imam Riza alayhi salam. He stands and he's complaining, I said, I requested your grandson and he hasn't given to me at so far. He says, I was complaining and all of a sudden I see there's a young man standing beside me and there is an old man besides him. That young man was the Imam of time and that old man was Hazrat Khizr. Those who've been visited with the ziyarat of the Imam, they say that we have already, we mostly saw an old man with him. That old man is Hazrat Khizr, who is his assistant. There are many tasks assigned to Hazrat Khizr, and among them, one of the tasks assigned to him is that on the day of Arafah, which is a few hours that we have to be in Arafat, from Zuhr till Maghrib, 4 or 5 hours, the job description of Hazrat Khizr, defined by the Imam of time, is that he has to stand in that plain of Arafat and say Ameen, Ameen, Ameen to the dua of Mu'mineen. That is his only job description for that day of Arafat. He says that I was complaining here to the 8th Imam, besides me, it's that 12th Imam, and besides him is his Hazrat Khizr, and all of a sudden Imam, he raises his hand. He says the moment Imam raises his hand, I see a clip open before me, a vision open before me, and I see the house of Ali and Zahra in Kufa. He says I saw a very humble house, very humble house, with very minimum crockery, pottery, or whatever was present over there at that time, with a wheel. And he was reminded of that wheel where she used to grind the flour and her hands, they used to bleed. When he saw this humble house of Zahra and Ali, he says, I forgot about the repairs which I needed for my house and the funds I wanted from the Imam of time. He just said, I just forgot everything. He says, when his house was so humble and simple, then mine could be without it. And he says that all of a sudden my sight stuck to the door of that house. He says, was this that door wherein Zahra was crushed? And he says, he starts crying at that time. So that bond has to be there between us and the Imam. No matter what we want, no matter how small it is, no matter how large it is, we have to get it from that Imam. That door has to be there. We've got beautiful reports. One of them says that when Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he, during his time, there was a person called Rumaila, quoting from Nahjul Balagha. He says that I was shaking at that day, was very ill, had fever, temperature. And when my temperature was better and I was feeling a bit better, I said the best thing that could be done today is that I go and say my prayers, my Jummah prayers behind Amirul Mu'mineen. That is the best task I could do. He says, I performed my wuzu, came and said my prayers behind Amirul Mu'mineen, And Imam finished his khutbah, the prayers were done, and all of a sudden, amidst the khutbah, this fever also returns, the temperature is back, and I start shaking and shivering. Everyone left the mosque after the prayers, and I was the last one to come after Amirul Mu'mineen, or with Amirul Mu'mineen. And there Imam says, "Rumaila, what's wrong? You're not feeling well." He says, "Yes, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, I'm ill." And then he says, Amirul Mu'mineen quotes this, that our Shias, whenever they are hurt, we are hurt. Whenever they are afflicted, we are afflicted. Whenever they are in pain, we are in pain. We are also hurt. When they fell down, we say, ouch. When they fell down, we feel the pain. Or when they have a dua, we say, Ameen for them. Or when they don't even have the dua, we pray for them. That close bond is present between us and them. That is between the Imam and between the Mu'mineen. And the same thing can be seen in that quote that we have from our 12th Imam Sayyid ibn Ta'us, one of those great ulama who can recognize the voice of Imam. He says, "Once I went into the Sardab when Imam was seen for the last time." Because he recognizes the voice of the Imam, he says, "I heard the Imam, he has a dua." What does he say? Says that, "Allahumma inna shi'atana qad khalaqta min shu'a'i anwarina." That God, our Shias, you've created with the shu'a, with the lights with which we were created. And then Imam says, "Qad fa'alu dhunuban kathira." And they have committed a lot of wrong, a lot of wrong. Imam says, "God, if the wrong that they have done, it's huququllah, like prayers, like fasts, like hajj." He says, "Allah, I mediate, you forgive them." And when Imam becomes a Shafi' and asks for forgiveness, Allah forgives. Now there is a criteria, inshallah I'll talk about that. And then he says, Imam says, that Sayyid ibn Ta'us is quoting from the Imam, then Imam said, "And if the wrong that the Shias have done is a huququn nas, it's all these dealings and money matters," says Allah, "make them so much rich that khums becomes wajib on them. Khums is my right. And I will pay their debts and dues with that haqq of mine, with that right of mine." So we have an Imam who is so kind, who is so loving, who is so caring. The picture of the Imam which is shown as a negative picture, that has to be corrected in our minds. Imam is Imam of mercy, rahmatun lil alameen. Imam is Imam of compassion. That is, Imam, he is all compassion. In that glorious saying that we have, that is upon the birth of Aba Abdullah al-Husayni alayhi salam, Jabir, he says that, "I went to the house of Ali and Fatima to extend my congratulations upon the birth of Hussein, like everyone else went." He says, "I went to his house, to their house, and there I see there is a tablet which is besides Zahra, which is glowing with emeralds and rubies in it." I said, "What is that?" She says, "It is this birth certificate of Hussein, which is sent by Allah to Jibreel, which was sent to my father to be given to me. And it is known as Hadith al-Lawh Fatima." You can find it in Usul al-Kafi. It's quite a lengthy hadith. And there, Allah, he extends his congratulations to Rasulullah upon the birth of Hussein. And then says, "Ya Muhammad, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Muhammad wa ala Muhammad." And mentions what the tasks of the Prophet are going to be and what the tasks of the Imams are going to be after him. And then comes to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And when it comes to the title that is given to Ma'sumin, like the title that was given to Rasulullah, is Rahmatun lil Alameen, mercy to the worlds. Imam al-Asr today is mercy to the worlds. That is, he is all compassion, all kindness. No matter what wrong we may have had done, the door, the outlet is the 12th Imam, we have to come to that door. It was mentioned that when it comes to the huququllah, that the wrong that we have done in prayers, in fasts, in hajj, etc., that we have to make it up. This concept that we have of shafaat, it means that we have to have something in hand for us to be upgraded in the hereafter. If I have an empty pocket, nothing in my pocket, and go shopping, say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I've come to shop, buy these things, no one is going to sell anything. I've got my credit card and I'm short of funds, I can call the card issuer and say that this is what I've got to buy and this much is less. If that credit file was good, they will instantly increase it and they said, okay, you can buy that. Shafaat also is like that, that we have to have something in hand, and if we have some shortfall, that shortfall can be corrected by ma'asumeen. That ma'rifat has to be with the imam, that love has to be there. A'mal, a little bit, have to be there. If there is some shortfall, that some shortfall can be corrected. If a person doesn't possess anything, nothing, and say, Bismillah, we want it, that's going to be tough. So the title that we have for, now, quoting from Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Milani, one of the great Maraji Taqlid of 1950s, he says that during his time, people, they used to come from Bombay to Karbala for ziyarah. And at that time, they come there, and there are two brothers, both of them Zakir, Maddah, and they used to recite for Aba Abdullah and Hussein. And there, this group of Zawars who have come from India, they say that we love the way they recited and we invited them to come to Bombay and recite for us. Now this too is a mystery, that how come Indians speaking a different language inviting someone to come and recite for them in a different language? Because when it comes to the zikr and the remembrance of Hussein, it is that language of love which talks. It doesn't matter what language we understand or not. Language of Hussein is language of love, mahabbat. Many a times you find, you've seen yourself, you've witnessed it, that you, the reciter is reciting something which is not your language, but you feel like crying. That is that language of love. He says that these two brothers were invited to Bombay and they become frequent visitors. And on one occasion, when they arrive Bombay, there is another group leaving for Hajj. There is a debate, a talk between the two brothers. The younger one says that we are mustati'a, that is, Hajj is wajib on us and we have to perform that Hajj. The elder brother, he says that we have committed, we have to recite for Aba Abdullah here. He says, but this is wajib, that is mustahab. The younger one says that I'll go for Hajj and I'll come back as soon as I can so that I can join you in these days of Muharram and Safar. And he goes for Hajj. When he comes back, those who come to welcome him, they welcome him in a different way. It's not that same welcome which used to be all the time. Then he finds out his elder brother has died. So he's worried for two things, that his brother has died away from his homeland, no family present, and also not performing a Hajj. He has tawassulat, recitals, prayers, and then asks Allah to open up and show him if he could be of any help to his brother. And after a lot of tawassulat, a vision opens before him. That is, he from this dunya and his elder brother who has died from barzakh, from his grave. Says, where are you? And how? And what happened? He says, everything was a mess. Everything was a mess. And all for not performing that one Hajj. Hajj was wajib. And he says, because of that Hajj which I did not perform, the life which I had to give away, it was very painful. The place which was assigned to me in Barzakh, that also was painful. And then he says, but my situation has changed now. Before it changed, he says that I was being taken by the two angels, instructed by Amirul Mu'mineen to a worse place from where I was. And then he says, because he was a zakir, a maddah, a reciter for Ahlul Bayt. And we've got in riwayat that someone who acquaints with whatever way in this dunya, that acquaintance will remain with him in his grave and in his qiyamah. If that love, if that acquaintance, if that bond was with Ahlul Bayt, it's with Ahlul Bayt that is going to remain. Man ahabba hajaran hasharahu Allah ma'ah. That if someone loved a stone, that stone is going to remain with him. He says that my acquaintance in this dunya was to recite for Hussein, was to recite for Zahra, was to recite for Ahlul Bayt. And when these two angels were taking me to that worst place, I started pleading and reciting, Dasti mano inayato lutfu ata ye Fatime, Qalbi mano mahabbato ruz jaza ye Fatime, Bi bazl dasti Fatime, Bi khaki pa ye Fatime, Manam gida ye Fatime, Manam gida ye Fatime. That is, by the hands and the bestowals of Fatima, by the dust of the feet of Fatima, I am the beggar of Fatima, I am the beggar of Fatima. He says, when I started reciting this qasida, all of a sudden she appears. She says, what is it? Says, help. I've got a shortfall in my performance, in my a'mal. She says, take him to Ali and say that Zahra has mediated. The two angels with the zakir, they come to Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, who is Qasimun Nar wal Jannah, the distributor of the hell and the heaven. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen, as soon as he looks at that zakir with those two angels, is shocked, says that, did I not tell you to take him to that worst place? Why have you brought him to me? They come back. He, from that very moment when Imam had denied, had rejected his pledge, he starts pleading all over again that dasti mano inayato lutfu ata ye Fatime, qalbi mano mahabbato ruz jaza ye Fatime, bi bazl dasti Fatime, bi khaki pa ye Fatime, manam gida ye Fatime, manam gida ye Fatime. He says, now she comes again and says, come on, let's go together. She with that zakir, with that maddah, with the two angels, come to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the presence of Zahra, is all respect and adab, says, yes Zahra, what can I do? She says, Ali, this person has served us, has recited for us. He has a shortfall in his a'mal. He needs our help and we have to help. He says, Amir al-Mu'mineen said that someone who has died not performing a hajj, mata yahudiyan aw nasraniyan, has died as a Jew or a Christian. What can I do? Criteria is clear before me. She says, something has to be done. He has to be helped. Then she says that she calls Mahdi, that is Imam. Imam appears instantly upon the call of the grandmother and says, yes, what can I do? Says, Mahdi, I want you to perform a hajj on behalf of this zakir, of this reciter of ours, this year, so that this shortfall that he has in his a'mal is removed. So this question may come to your mind that Imam, like you and me, only one hajj is wajib on him. And why is he there at hajj every year? It is as if he's making up the shortfall of mu'mineen from that year till today. Imam is that Imam of compassion, Imam of mercy. He cares for us. He loves us. It is upon us that we also love him. We also care for him. What do we do for that? Whatever his aims, his goals, his ambitions, his desires are, have to be our goals, our desires, our aims, our ambitions. If a center is there, the center has to be as he wishes, as he wants, a reflection of his aims, a reflection of his goals. For that you can look into dua iftitah. There says, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. تُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامَ وَأَهْلَهِ. That is, make it as such that we be with him when Islam and Muslims are dignified, are exalted. When whatever Imam wants to promote, we promote. Whatever Imam says no, we also say no. We become a reflection of the teachings of that Imam of mercy, Imam of compassion, Rahmatun lil Alameen. And for that bond has to be created between us and him. And with that, we will benefit. The first ones who will benefit, it's we ourselves. No matter what need, no matter what hajat, no matter what requirement we have, the door is Mahdi. The door is Imam al-Asr today. Aina babu Allah alladhi minhu yu'ta. In Dua Nudba we recite. That is, where is that door? Then Amirul Mu'mineen was the Bab. Now today is Imam who is the door, who is that gateway. The love, the bond that we find between Zainab and Hussein, that too is amazing. That is, how she respects the Imam of her time. How totally she is submitted to Hussein ibn Ali. That is, no matter what happens, she is submitted to that Imam. And this love can be seen in her last moments, that is when she is giving away her life. One of the reports which talks about how she died, here Abdullah bin Ja'far, he says that on that last day of her life, Zainab, she says that, Abdullah, take me out in the sun, in the open, under the, not here in this shelter, under this roof. He says, why is that, Zainab? She says, my brother Hussein, he died in that heat of Karbala on that blazing desert. And you want me to die in this shelter? I cannot. She is taken in the, under that sun. And there he says that I was furthermore amazed to see that she has something in her hand. She puts it onto her chest, kisses it, hugs it, repeats it over and over again, and then she gives away her life. He says, when I come closer, I see it's that blood-stained shirt of Hussein, which was with her until the last moments. With that love, with that bond which she had for Hussein, she lived with it and she died with it. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها وسر المستودع فيها 10 times. يا الله 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 إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها وسر المستودع فيها. All those who have ill and ailing, may Allah grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. Ya Allah, hasten in the return of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah. Count us among his true supporters and his servants. Our children to be enlisted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Hajat of Mu'mineen, whatsoever they be, all of them be granted. Those who have hopes in these majalis, all of their du'as be granted, their hopes be met. Our youngsters, may they get the right spouses they are after. Those who have the du'as and wishes for children to be blessed and granted with the best of children, and our parents to be protected, and those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. For all mu'mineen and mu'minat, specially mentioned in this slip here, A Fatiha with an out salawat.